Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guest explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
Hello, blessings, and welcome to A Call to Greatness. Your greatness is calling, and I do hope on today's show that your greatness calls you at least to a window to look outside, so that even as you listen to this show, you are connected to your environment, both inside where you are and outside. I also hope that you are all very, very well. Well in body, well in spirit. And if you would like to know more about my work, you can feel free to check out my website at www.spiritalive.com. And we are talking about things that are alive today. And before we get started on the show, I'd like to begin, as many broadcasts begin these days on commercial networks, I'd like to begin with the traffic and the weather. So the traffic today on the internet looks like it is moving very, very smoothly. There are no signs of anything that should slow you down. Pay attention, however, as you move through cyberspace, that you make sure you allow plenty of room and space for others who are also moving through cyberspace. The weather forecast. New York, it's 56 degrees and rain. Great Falls, Montana, 52 degrees and drizzle. Raleigh, North Carolina, 60 degrees, drizzle. Fairbanks, Alaska, -5, cloudy. Ottawa, 35 degrees, rain. Buenos Aires, 86 degrees, partly cloudy. Algiers, 63 degrees, drizzle. San Jose, Costa Rica, 81 degrees, and rain. So it looks like we are in the company today of the rain spirit in many, many places. Moscow is the only place that actually was reporting snow. So we are in the company of the rain spirit. The rain spirit is hopefully going to be speaking with us today. We are also in the company of two weather dancers and shamanic practitioners, David Corbin and Nan Moss. The two are on the faculty of the Foundation of Shamanic Studies. They are certified in the Michael Harner method of shamanic counseling. They have a private practice specializing in shamanic counseling, shamanic healing, and soul retrieval. They are also weather dancers, have been doing this for about 10 years. They do workshops around the country. Welcome, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
I'm so delighted to have both of you, and do make sure that you speak right up into the phones, just like rock stars. So today we are obviously talking about the weather, and we are talking about not only the weather itself, but our relationship to it. And as we get in, I just kind of want to set the stage a little bit for people and just ask all of you a couple of questions. What do you think about the weather? What do you think? How do you think about it? Is it a life force? Is it something to be kind of dealt with? Oh, God, it's raining. You know, got to grab the umbrella, got to deal with this. Do you ignore it? Like, just try to pretend weather doesn't exist? Do you have better relationships with certain kinds of weather, like sunny weather or balmy weather? Are you affected emotionally by the weather? Just a few things to ponder. So, Nan and Dave, how's the weather?
It's raining.
It's raining. So, I don't know, but usually when I sit with my husband in the morning and we look at the paper and look at the weather around the world, there's a lot of variety. And I was sort of looking for that this morning, and it shocked me to see how much it was the same everywhere. Drizzle, rain, and even not a huge, huge span. Well, there's some span, but not as much as I expected temperature-wise.
Mm.
What's the deal? What? Why? What's this? What's up with the rain spirit?
I don't know. I'm amazed at it myself when I was listening to your weather report. I pay attention to the weather outside my door, and at night I listen to the weather that happened around the country, but
yeah,
I'm surprised.
Well, an interesting thing to look at with that, too, is how whenever you read newspapers or listen to the news of the world seems to be somewhat consistent these days,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
somewhat consistently shall we say stormy or rainy.
This is true.
One of the very important aspects of this work is that what happens on one level affects what happens in another level. So in some sense you can say that what's going on in the world and how everyone is feeling in the world is affecting the weather.
Yeah, that's not something we often think about.
No, it isn't.
Sometimes I think about what's going on in the weather can affect the world. We'll get there, but I don't often think about it going in the other direction.
Well, it's interesting that throughout history it's been noticed, one of the earliest historians, Plutarch, noticed this as well, that after great battles, it seems more often than not there are rains that come.
Hmm.
And David and I had heard this, and we were also quite amazed after the event in New York City, the 9-1-1, rains followed, hard rains, both in Washington and
Houston. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it was more difficult, of course, for the rescue and cleanup things, but it also helped bring a lot of that particular matter back down and get it out of the sky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating too.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, that's a phenomenon actually that was so well observed that even back in the Civil War, when after the Battle of Gettysburg these huge rains happened, that the government actually funded studies of that,
mm-hmm.
and started to do things like shoot cannons into the sky to see if they could make it rain.
Wow.
And this was kind of the beginning of our scientific, so-called scientific mode of weather modification, trying
mm-hmm.
to create rain, which has developed into our current cloud seeding operations that are going on actually almost constantly all over the country.
Interesting.
Wow. So, as well as other places in
right.
the world.
And all those other places. So I just want to have a little fun for a minute here. So if I have some kind of battle with my spouse, or I even have some kind of internal battle, and it's a real beauty, I often cry when it's over. Like internal rain.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's a really beautiful metaphor.
Yeah, well, I just, these things are kind of occurring to me as you speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, why weather? Why are we talking about weather? Why even really pay attention to our relationship to weather?
Yeah, well, you walk outside and what are you? You're surrounded by weather. Even inside, of course, you're surrounded by weather. It's the way that we are interact with the world. The first thing that we notice going outside is the weather. We can never really get away from it. Although we build houses, we try very hard to get away from it, but you can't. It's all around, and as we've been talking about, it's inside you as well, of course. But the physical weather that we usually refer to as weather is really how we what we interact with in the atmosphere, and also of course the weather has helped to create the world as we know it. The great storms and winds and all of that, the erosion that happens that forms land masses and helps shape things, all of this is connected deeply with the weather. So it's a very important aspect of our existence on this planet.
Right. So it sounds to me, as you talk, that weather then is really a very powerful, creative force. And if we ignore it, I think we're in trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very dangerous to ignore any great creative forces.
And we do try, whatever the creative force is.
Well, we like to think that we are the creative force.
Yes.
Somehow or other, we've been fooled into thinking that humans control things.
Right. We are creative, but we don't control things. And sometimes I know when I watch the news, as long as it's not something really awful happening, when weather comes in, it's like, oh, good, a reminder. We aren't in control of everything.
Right.
Yeah. So how did the two of you wind up working with weather? And then we're going to go into weather spirits, but how did you get here?
Well, we'd both been practicing shamanism for about a decade or a little over, and for myself, and for David as well, we both always loved weather, you know, even as children. So that was a big part of our internal being. And I'd had some pretty extraordinary weather experiences and things like that. But as far as working with weather, more or less formally, it came to me as a calling during a journey, a spontaneous shamanic journey that I took while we were involved in a workshop with people, a Spirits of Nature workshop. And I was having an ecstatic time of it. You know, I'm journeying to the upper world. This is a compassionate world, and with the intention of meeting a weather spirit, something I'd never done before and had only just thought of that morning. And here I was face to face with this incredible cloud being, and he was rather intimidating, but I knew I was in a world of compassionate beings, so I wasn't terribly afraid. And I could see just glowing eyes, and you could just sense all the lightning bolts inside there, and this great roiling mass of clouds, and his expressions kept shifting and that sort of thing. There was one moment when this being's mouth opened and snowballs tumbled out. You know, I was really quite fascinated and delighted. And so I introduced myself and asked for a teaching about weather, and what I got really surprised me and left me quite speechless. This weather spirit let me have it, so to speak. Let me have it as far as a representative, you know, me as a representative of our culture, that we had gone too far in our arrogance as far as understanding weather physically, you know, the physical aspects of weather, you know, from a concrete world view, and we had dispirited weather.
Dispirited weather.
We had lost our sense of the spiritual nature of weather.
Okay, so we're coming up on a break, and I invite all of you just to ponder this for a moment, being chastised by a weather spirit for dispiriting the weather. And we'll continue getting to know these weather spirits when we come back on A Call to Greatness. Stay with us.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I'm here today with David Corbin and Nan Moss, shamanic practitioners, weather dancers extraordinaire. And before the break, Nan had just told us about being more or less chastised by a weather spirit, talking about how we have gone too far and despirited the weather. So now, obviously, Nan had some preparation for encountering this weather spirit through shamanism. So David or Nan, both of you if you want, could you give us just kind of a little brief idea of how shamanism works and how you might have prepared for an encounter like that?
Shamanism, you know, is something that we've both been working with for a long, long time, studying it, excuse me, and working with it for about 20 years. And what it is, really, is, you know, it's one of the oldest spiritual traditions in the world, and its basic premise, which goes back, you know, 40, 50,000 years, probably more than that, of course, as, you know, as long as humans have been on the planet, quite a bit longer than that. Its basic premise is that everything that exists is alive, and we're all interconnected. You know, that's a very simple and almost simplistic explanation, but it's very important, because what it says is that everything has a spirit. You know, we all obviously have a spirit. You know, animals have spirits, plants have spirits, but also things that we consider inanimate have a spirit. Rocks.
My stuffed animals have spirits.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, clouds have spirit. The wind has a spirit. You know, rain has spirit. Everything has
right.
a spirit.
Right.
And what shamans do is they communicate with that spiritual aspect of everything.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to go into what we consider an altered state of consciousness and communicate directly with the spiritual aspect of everything. And they do this for very important reasons. One of them is to bring back knowledge from the world of the spirits, because back in the old days, humans needed to communicate with nature in order to know how to live, in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to know what plants were good to eat. They needed to know how to heal illness. So they would communicate directly. The shaman would be the one who would go on behalf of the community into this altered state of consciousness and do what we call a shamanic journey, which is to travel into these other worlds, the worlds of the spirits, and bring back knowledge, bring back healing power from these other worlds. And Anne mentioned in her journey the upper world. The shaman journeys usually in three different realms. There's what we call the middle world, which is this world right here that we all live in. But there's also two other worlds. There's a lower world, which is down below, where the shaman enters the earth and travels down to to speak with spirits there. And then there's the upper world, where you travel up into the sky and speak with spirits. And these are, this is knowledge that's known all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come from any one particular culture. So all shamanic cultures talk of these things. And an important aspect of that is that in the upper and lower worlds, shamans have found that the spirits encountered there are compassionate,
mm-hmm.
purely compassionate.
Yes.
So unlike our modern religions, which talk about a place down below that you kind of want to stay away from because it's kind of hot down there, shamans know that down below, the lower world and the upper world are both places of pure compassion.
Yeah.
And that is where we go to get information that will help us to live better in this world. And that is where man encountered the spirit who
mm-hmm.
had something to say.
So what did you do then, man? What was your response to this chastising by the weather spirit?
Well, my response, my emotional response was a feeling of dismay
mm-hmm.
because I suddenly realized that I, too, had been, you know, participating in this collective cultural arrogance all this time. And here I thought I had wholly embraced, you know, the shamanic worldview of spirits and all things, and I had simply ignored the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I was just shocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, when the weather spirit went on, and just on and on and on about how we you know, we curse the weather, we depersonalize the weather, we've forgotten about the spiritual
uh-huh.
nature of weather.
Uh-huh.
I felt ashamed, and so it added up to being speechless,
sort
of an unusual condition for me. and all I could do was just accept the tongue lashing, and then I made a promise right in the moment. I made a promise to that weather spirit and to the spirits of weather through that spirit that I would come back to my community and share this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the moment, I didn't realize what an all-encompassing promise that would be.
Right.
I might not have been so rash as to make that promise, but...
Isn't that the way it goes? Yeah.
Exactly. But
mm-hmm.
I'm, of course, very grateful that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it.
Wow. So where has this led you? The term that, you know, I've been using and I've heard you use now is dancing with the weather spirits. And relationship certainly is a dance.
Right.
And so... What are you learning as you take this journey from the weather spirits?
Well, you know, it's a very you know, powerful and profound teaching. When you really consider the concept of oneness and the concept of everything being connected, that really changes your life, and it changes how you relate to the world, and it changes how the world relates to you. And one of the things that we're learning, or at least that I'm learning, is that a relationship with the weather, as with any aspect of nature, is essential for our, you know, survival as a planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets down to
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that the intention of creating a relationship, I would think, would be also important, that I could see a lot of people, oh, let me have a relationship with the weather so I can get it to do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
I was doing a snow dance last night. I'm trying to get it to snow in Tahoe before January 6th.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say the deeper that David and I go into relationship with the weather, the longer that we've been involved in this spiritual path, the less interested we are in weather working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in influencing the weather,
right.
Unless it's really, really needed. I'm totally fascinated by the mystery of weather working, because we're working with the whole, you know, manifestation in this world, and, you know, weather as a force of creation.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
what I'd like to say, for me, this became a spiritual path. This became an arm of my spiritual path, a major branch that actually is, I would even consider it as the whole trunk of my tree, so to speak.
Wow.
It's brought me very deeply into, I feel, who I am and what I'm learning about in the world, and how I can contribute to mm-hmm. healing and balance mm-hmm. in our world and help others to do so as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about relationship. You know, relationship itself, as we all know, is a very complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
There are good relationships and there are difficult relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The idea is not just to have a relationship with weather, but to have a good relationship with weather. And, you know, a good relationship, you know, when you're in relationship with someone with whom you really respect and really have a strong connection with, it's healing for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when you have a relationship where you're trying to control someone or have power over them, ultimately that really harms both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, weather dancing, as we, you know, have used that phrase, talk a little later about where that came from, but the concept of dancing is really to dance together with the weather. It's mm-hmm. not to have any sort of control over, not to influence, but to really be in harmony, to dance together so that healing can take place,
mm-hmm.
not only for, you know, yourself, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to get healing for yourself.
Sure.
But for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as we started the show talking about the current weather in the world relating to the news out, you know, in the world, you know, when a relationship is good and harmonious, it helps, you know, as I said, both parties.
It helps
so we
both
can
parties.
Really affect mm-hmm. and help those places that have difficult weather problems by being in harmony, by being mm-hmm. in good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was thinking as you were talking, we've talked about trying to control the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I also know a lot of people who are absolutely controlled by the weather,
mm-hmm.
who let themselves be controlled by it.
Yes.
And that's just the other side of the same coin.
Yes.
And that it's still out of relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. In fact, I met a woman in a workshop that we taught in Nova Scotia. I met a woman who had such a tough time with wind, with experiencing wind, that she couldn't even go outside on windy days.
Right.
And living in a windy area, that was very limiting
yes,
to her.
I can well imagine. So we'll talk more about how to build a better relationship with weather and where Nan and David's work is going with this. When we come back from this short break, do stay with us on A Call to Greatness, and during the break, look outside the window. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real, and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I'm Victoria Post, and I'm here today with David Corbin and Nan Moss, weather dancers and shamanic practitioners. And before the break, Nan, you seem to be telling stories in and out of the breaks. We were talking about a woman who was unable to go outside in the wind and lived in a windy area. I'm not going to go ahead and continue that story. I hated to interrupt that one, but there we go.
Sure, it doesn't take long. This person, she really, like I said, this had gone on for years and years, and it was sort of weather running her life in a way that she did not want. And so she attended our weather dancing workshop with some trepidation, she later said. And in the workshop, she managed to make a real connection with the spirit of wind. And so she told me about that, and I felt rather hopeful, and that was it. And then a couple weeks later, I received an email from her where everything had shifted. She could now go outside on windy days. She actually enjoyed the feel of wind. She would take long walks with her husband again. And
wow.
I felt like it was a real healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then I know where my work is. So often in San Francisco, it's kind of what I call nondescript weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tend to go out and go, oh, God, this weather's boring because it doesn't change a lot. I'm like, this is boring. And somebody said, would you be careful what you wish for here?
It's funny because we do have kind of this running joke that whenever we're in San Francisco, it's always 56 degrees.
Exactly.
Well, but it's interesting you say that the weather is boring. One thing that you can say, of course, is that when you're in good health, you can say that your health is boring.
True.
<You know? laughs> There's not a whole lot going on.
That's a whole different...
So there are people in the world in various places who might definitely wish for boring weather.
Wish for boring weather.
And, of course, since we're in an El Nino year in San Francisco, you might be wanting boring weather before too long.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what's up with... I mean, what have the weather spirits told you about... Some of the, hurricanes, droughts, tsunamis, the weather spirits have been quite talkative of late, and it's been pretty destructive.
Right. A few years ago, David and I were facing a very scary storm front that was going to wash over us as we were traveling and during the night, and the storm front stretched from the Gulf all the way up to the Great Lakes, and we were headed west, and there was simply no way to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was quite nervous about this. And so when we stopped, we immediately decided to take a journey to our weather, helping weather spirits. And I went to my weather teacher in the upper world to ask about this. And he told me, he said, this is the time of water. This is the power of water,
mm-hmm.
the time of water's power over the earth,
mm-hmm.
hence the tsunamis, which had just happened in
right.
December, and the floods and, all the rains, that sort of thing. And so I think we're still in that time.
In that power of water.
And that the great storms are needed to bring the great waters.
Yeah, one of the interesting teachings about all of this, particularly with storms and big events like that, which have been happening, all over the world since long before humans were on it.
Sure.
And that, weather has a job to do. Storms have a job to do. Hurricanes were very instrumental in spreading various life forms and various plant seeds and various small animals from one continent to another. You know, essentially fertilizing the world in some sense. They do have a job to do, particularly now when humans are having a big influence on the world. We are putting a lot of pollution into the air. We're, you know, the whole global warming thing, you know, greenhouse gases and all that. And in some sense, you know, metaphorically, you can look at the weather as the Earth's immune system, trying to balance things out, trying to clean things up a little bit. And the other aspect of that, of course, you know, we talk about compassionate spirits, and we talk about, we see all the pain and suffering that some weather causes. In some shamanic journeys I've done in communicating with compassionate weather spirits, they themselves feel frustrated and bad because it's hard for them to do their work without hurting people, because we've built houses and places where severe weather happens. A lot, we're in the way in some sense, and they don't want to hurt. Although, you know, sometimes it's really impossible for them not to. So it's a complex thing.
Yeah, and you know that I just, isn't it also interesting that we as humans have a job to do?
Yes.
And
absolutely,
if we are conscious, we can actually have the same approach of not wanting to hurt the weather, but our unconsciousness has caused the problem, not the fact that we've got a job to do and we have to figure out how to work with weather and weather has to work with us.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a really brilliant way to put it. All of this that we're trying to do and that, you know, shamanism really has been about is really about waking up, about paying attention to the world around us, you know, about making ourselves aware of everything that goes on. You know, our culture really is about, is trying to put us to sleep, is trying to kind of hypnotize us into being, you know, not aware of what's going on. But it's our responsibility, in a sense, the way that we can become fully human on this planet is to become aware, to wake up ourselves so that we really see the relationships that are happening around us, that we can see the interplay of forces, you know, natural forces, that we can see the effects that we have on the planet, both physically and emotionally and spiritually.
There are many indigenous peoples and ancestral peoples who actually can clearly see the consequences that are caused by our lack of awareness and the chaos that engenders. For example, Don Matsua, he was a revered shaman of the Huichol people from Mexico. He was in his 80s when he visited New York and California back in the 70s. And he was asked to come and help out because there'd been a lot of drought on both coasts and that sort of thing. And Don Matsua, when he went to work, when he went there to California, went to New York City, people said that he wept as he worked in ceremony because he could see the frightful lack of balance in our world. And he told us, you know, he said for our culture, he said that there's a reason for all this misfortune, for we've not been doing the ceremonies, we've not been gathering together, we've not been thanking the earth, you know, the gods, the sun, the sea for our lives. You know, and he said, without celebration, the gods are unhappy and bring misery to us. You know, we've not been getting our love out to the world.
Sounds like something I said to my husband the other day. It really works across the board, doesn't it?
Well, they said that after each ceremony's conclusion, clouds gathered and powerful rains came.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So is this the intent behind your work? Is this what your work is, helping people to wake up?
If we could heal the world ourselves, then maybe our work would be that. But obviously, everyone has to take part in that. The more people who are awake, the better. And that's what we try to do through our, you know, our workshops and teachings and all of that.
Right. And I do want to say, for more information about their work, if you want to see what they do in detail, they do have a, Nan and Dave do have a website, and that is www.shamanscircle.com. That's S-H-A-M-A-N-S-C-I-R-C-L-E. Sometimes it's hard to hear that S in there.
Yeah.
.com. So, I'd encourage all of you to check it out. I had a lot of fun on it. So I imagine in your work, you've had incredible lessons in power and humility. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine you can work with weather spirits without having to be all right with power, but also really experience humility.
Right. Well, I had an experience. I've been asking lately to go deeper in my relationship with the weather spirits, and in the back of my mind is this little voice, just how might that happen? and this summer I was driving home on the back roads from a town further north of us in Maine, and the sky all of a sudden just started changing. There was I could see incredible cloud formations to my right and another very dark cloud formation to my left, and they were coming together right where I was headed. And just before I got out of cell phone contact, David called and warned me that there was a severe storm alert, you know, with possible 70-mile-an-hour wind gusts and hail and things like that. But there was nowhere else for me to go but forward. So I went on, and there are trees on either side of the road, and it's really not a place where one could pull off. And I remember the sky turned this incredible blue, like ice blue, and just before the storm broke. And it was so strong. I'd never experienced such a powerful onslaught of a storm such as this one before. And hard things started slapping the car. I could barely see the road ahead of me. It was a small road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very aware that I needed to find a place to pull off where a tree wouldn't come down, you know, and then
right.
hail. And I was really frightened. I remember asking the spirits for some help here, at least help me to find a place. And finally, I remembered in my mind a high school parking lot further down the road, and somehow I made it, really, you know, even driving over large branches in the road at that point. Somehow I made it, and the hail was so hard, I remember backing the car up so that the back window was facing the hail in case it would come in, and I was trembling like a leaf. I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I was humbled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here I was all alone in this tiny little car with this enormous storm,
mm-hmm.
such as I'd never seen before, you know, wreaking havoc above me.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I realized I had to walk my talk.
Yeah. That's always humbling when you come up against that, and I imagine you do over and over.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So we are coming up again on a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how people can start building a relationship with weather and a few more other good things. So, again, during the break, take a moment to look outside the window, and do stay with us. We'll be right back on A Call to Greatness.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to the final segment of A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and again with me, David Corbin and Nan Moss, weather dancers, shamanic practitioners. And Nan, we left you once again in the middle of a story. We've done it all the way along here. We left you having to walk your talk.
Right. Here I am with the car shaking, and I'm quaking. And realized I had to do something. I couldn't just sit there and tremble. So it became very clear to me that I needed to honor this great spirit of storm. So I didn't have a rattle, which is the usual tool that I work with. So I started clapping my hands. I started clapping my hands, and a chant emerged. It was just a chant that I will probably never find again. It was a chant of the moment. And as I clapped and as I chanted, I realized that I was becoming stronger and more coherent. You know, just more coherent. I wasn't so scattered about fear. And as there came this point where my voice was really, my throat was so dry, but I realized I couldn't even stop for anything, you know, not to drink water, anything. Just keep chanting, keep clapping. And as I did so and became strong to the point where I knew I could expand out into the storm, I just let my being expand out into the storm where I really could honor the storm. And at that point, I was very capable of honoring the storm, you know, and honoring the job that it had to do and that sort of thing. And then at some point, it was time to stop, and I came back, and when I opened my eyes, the sun appeared. The clouds just immediately broke, the sun appeared, and it was over, just a light rain. And so, of course, I, you know, jumped out of the car and gave thanks. But there's another part to the story. I came home feeling, you know, like I'd been given my life back. And the next week, I read in the paper where they thought perhaps a tornado had gone through, which they're pretty rare in Maine. And I went back to that area, and a few miles away, there was this extraordinary scene of these three very old, very large white pine trees, elder trees as I think of them, and they were just wrenched apart, you know, wrenched around, broken apart. Their trunks had these spikes, you know, sticking up. It was just an incredible scene of devastation right there by the side of the road, just a few miles away. And it wasn't until, I mean, I honored the trees and thanked them and that sort of thing, but it wasn't until I was a few miles away that I got it. And what I got was, and it just moved me to tears when I got it, was that those elders, those trees, took the hit for us.
Yeah. I just,
That still blows me away.
Yeah. So even that's very, very humbling.
Yes.
Absolutely. Very, very humbling. You know, but again, you're dealing with a lot of power and a lot of humility.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's so many different reactions we get when we talk about this kind of work. There's really three categories of reactions. One of them is people coming up and saying, oh yeah, I change the weather all the time. I've been doing that since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, mm-hmm. I can say is a certain lack of humility. But and another reaction that we get is, oh, oh no, you know, you shouldn't be messing around with this. You know, this is stuff
mm-hmm.
that you know, you have to have, you know, power to do. You really, you know, shouldn't be messing in this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that in some ways is also coming from a place of a lack of humility.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening
yeah.
there is that we're not realizing that we are always
messing around with
the
mm-hmm.
weather.
Mm-hmm.
So to deny that and say, no, you know, you shouldn't do this is to really be sticking your head in the sand.
Right.
Which is just another form of you know, lack
mm-hmm.
of humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the third reaction, of course, is people who really are excited by this kind of thing because
mm-hmm.
they really have felt a connection with weather. And by having that connection, as you know, the story Nan told illustrates in some sense, it brings you to a place of balance with your ego. You cannot have an overabundant ego when you are faced by, you know, big weather.
Right, right.
And at the same time, you need to have a strong enough ego to do any of this kind of work
mm-hmm.
in order to know that we do count, that we are important in this world.
Right. So I gather that the two of you have a book in progress, and I wrote in my notes, soon to be published, Weather Spirits Willing.
Yeah.
What is the book? What can people expect from it when it does come out?
Well, you know, it should be out probably in about a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just working with a publisher now.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say what the title is because we don't know that yet.
Okay, it's still a work in progress.
Our working title is Weather Dancers.
Right.
Yeah. Weather Dancers. So
Bridging Earth and Sky for Love of the World.
Mm-hmm.
That's our working title.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a lovely title.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, it explores a lot of what we've been talking about
mm-hmm.
of the importance of having a relationship with weather, the importance of, you know, having a relationship with all of nature, the importance
mm-hmm.
of being in balance, the importance
right.
of bringing yourself
yeah.
into balance so that the world will reflect that. You know, the old
right.
the old alchemical saying, as above, so
below.
So
I want to encourage people to check out the website again, www.shamanscircle.com, shamans with an S, shamanscircle.com, and watch for that book. And before we close, I'd like to ask you both if you can offer people a couple of quick suggestions for how they might begin to build their relationship with the weather spirits, call on them, begin to talk to them.
Well, it's actually quite simple. The first thing, and I always work with this myself, is to watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts, watch your comments about the weather. It seems to be almost like a national pastime to complain about the weather in our culture.
And, of course.
And it doesn't mean that you have to like all kinds of weather. I mean, I tried to do that until I realized very clearly an element of weather fog taught me otherwise, that it's better to be authentic in your relationship. But to really monitor your thoughts and your
mm-hmm.
words about what you say about the weather, it's not just all about your personal likes and dislikes.
Right.
And to give attention, the gift of your attention to the weather.
It's amazing what you can do when you just go outside and really pay attention to what the weather
mm-hmm.
is. Not just whether it's raining or snowing or
right.
warm or cold, but what how it feels on your skin, how it feels inside your body, how the feeling of the rain on your face, all of your senses, every sense and then some that you have to really you know, just know what that weather is. Mm-hmm. That really begins to connect you on a very deep level.
And you might be surprised at how responsive the weather can be.
Yeah.
Even the simplest thing. More people are just delighted with how wind responds to them.
Yeah.
You know, or the shapes of the clouds.
I just started saying hello to the rain, and I notice even with the hello, I get a hello back.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the time has gone so quickly. I want to thank you both so much for an absolutely delightful and informative show.
Thank you.
And
very
I want
much
to wish all of you out there a wonderful week with the weather. So do take time to talk to the spirits of weather, and do tune in again next week for A Call to Greatness. Thank you all for participating, for listening, and I look forward to seeing you again on the next week when it may still be raining. Blessings. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.